Chapter 7.
You know I'd love to help you out, Zach, but I just don't have any space.
Claude was impressed that Zach's smile didn't waver an inch. You'd never know by looking at him that they were getting desperate. This was the third inn they'd been turned away from. He was also impressed how many people Zach knew. So far, he'd greeted everyone they'd talked to by name, and plenty of people in the streets had called out and waved to him. Apparently, Zach wasn't willing to leave things at a simple no this time. Come on, all we really need is a couple pallets on the floor, he wheedled. Surely, with everyone packed with refugees from the storm, the authorities would look the other way about you having more people than you're allowed.
Well...
Seeing that the man was wavering, Zach went in for the kill. I'll even forget about that 100 gil you owe me from the last time I played coins with you, he promised. For a moment, Cloud thought it had worked. Then he made the mistake of taking a hopeful step forward and drew the man's attention to him. Their eyes met and the innkeeper's narrowed. Sorry, he said gruffly. The earlier warmth vanished from his voice. Rules are the rules, and I'm full up. Now Zach's smile did fade, and he looked like he was thinking about kicking up a fuss. Cloud grabbed his arm and tugged. Let's just get out of here, he insisted, his eyes locked on the floor. It didn't take a genius to realize what had made the man go hostile. Once again, he damned his albed eyes. Zach allowed himself to be pulled away, but he clearly wasn't happy about it. I don't get it, he burst out once they'd left the inn. Bernie's held albed customers before. He's never had a problem with them. Hell, this is Luca. They're more accepting here than anywhere else on Spira.
The attitude towards albed does seem to have soured since we left, Sephiroth commented.
A passing woman pushed rudely between Cloud and Sephiroth, nearly knocking Cloud over. Only the other summoner's quick grab for his shoulder kept him upright. All around Cloud, he could see people glaring at him. He ducked his head a little further, wishing there was some way he could hide his bright hair, as well as his eyes.
Hey, none of that, Zach nudged him. You're a summoner. Be proud. Don't hide.
I'd rather not start a riot, thanks, Cloud muttered, peering up at his guardian through his bangs. Zach laughed, but the sound was uneasy.
I don't think it's that bad. I just wish I knew what happened.
It was the storm, an unfamiliar voice said, or rather, the lack of warning about it. A woman emerged from the crowd, and Cloud's jaw dropped. She was wearing the unmistakable purple and gold uniform of the Luca Goers, arguably the best Blitz team on Spira.
Oh, hey, Durham!
Zach greeted her like an old friend as she joined them.
What do you mean, this storm? It's not like the Albed caused it.
No, but a lot of people were hurt or lost property or ships because there was no warning, Durham explained. Now more people were staring at them, but this time Cloud had a feeling it had more to do with the Blitz Star strolling along beside them. There's been a lot of angry grumbling over it, especially since none of them got caught. She gave Cloud a curious look, and he flushed and ducked his head again quickly, hoping she hadn't noticed his eyes yet. If the people of the city were even angrier with the Albed than usual, the last thing he wanted was to stir up more trouble.
None of them were caught that we are aware of,
Sephiroth corrected, his deep voice soft but carrying over the crowd.
Likely they would be aware of the potential for backlash, and they'll be avoiding Spear and Ports when possible for a time, especially if they were already injured or their ships were damaged, and they might not be able to defend themselves.
Huh, could be. Durham looked thoughtful, and so did a few people around them. At any rate, between the storm and the tournament, there isn't a room to be had in all of Luca, especially while you're traveling with this cutie. She winked at Cloud, and he blushed. Bet you regret giving up your apartment, hey, Zach? How come you're back so soon? Come to your senses and decided to come back to us? Bikram will be so disappointed. He was just getting used to being captain.
Zach laughed. Not a chance. I know it's hard to understand, but there are some things more important than Blitz. You guys will be fine. It's not like I won every game myself.
Cloud stopped short in the middle of the street and stared at his guardian. Wait, you're that, Zach? He exclaimed, his voice hardly more than a squeak. The captain of the Goers? Sweet Faith, no wonder he kept thinking that Zack looked familiar. For that matter, no wonder that everyone in Luca seemed to know him. Cloud had a sphere of him at home in his bedroom, and it must have been an old picture. Zack's hair was much longer now, and he had a scar on one cheek, and that wasn't in the picture. Former captain, Zack corrected him, his grin widening. I'm your guardian now, remember? I was wondering how long it would take you to figure it out. But... Cloud sputtered, unable to get the words out in his shock. But you can't leave Blitzball! I want to be a hero, Zack told him. He was trying to be solemn, but the twinkle in his eyes ruined the effect. I can't do that as a blitzer. I don't know about that, Cloud muttered, thinking about all the hours he'd spent poring over this man's blitz stats, reviewing his games, or just staring at the sphere. That felt pretty close to hero worship to him, and he was sure he wasn't the only one in Spira who felt that way. Ifrit's flame. He was still adjusting to the idea of having Lord Sephiroth as a guardian. To find out his other guardian was the captain of the Goers? His mind threatened to shut down from the overload. Wait, so he's your summoner? Duram asked, peering at Cloud with wide eyes. He tried to remember what Zack had said about being proud, and this time he kept his head up. Somehow, he had to live up to the belief two such amazing people had in him. You just can't do anything the easy way, can you? Wow, cute and a summoner. After the game, want me to show you around town? Zack's not a native. He doesn't know all the best places. Cloud blushed so hotly he could feel it prickling at his cheeks, and he lost the battle to keep his eyes up. Zack laughed. Give the poor kid a break, Durham. Don't you have enough notches on your belt? Never, she replied, laughing as well. You can't blame a girl for trying. Listen, why don't you come watch the game and then crash in the Goers' barracks? There's plenty of room. Most of us have places in town. Hey, that's a great idea, Zack exclaimed, lighting up. What do you think, Cloud? Want to catch a game? Did he want to watch a real Blitz game? Was there anyone of any race who wouldn't jump at the chance? Gritting his teeth, Cloud forced himself to shake his head. If we have time, we should go hunt some fiends, he said, hoping he didn't sound as reluctant as he felt. We need to make some gil so we can resupply. We also need to rest, especially you, Zack countered. You're still recovering from not eating on all those sea voyages. We have to get to Jose as soon as possible, Cloud said stubbornly. Sin won't wait around while I'm having fun. Sephiroth put a hand on his shoulder. Cloud looked up, surprised. The purpose of the summoner's journey is not only to gather the aeons, Sephiroth said softly. It is also a chance for the summoner to make peace with his life, so that he may face the final summoning with no regrets. If it is something you would regret missing, then you should take the opportunity now while you can.
Come on, you know you want to go, Zack teased him. Don't make me drag you for your own good. I'll do it. You know I will.
All right, Cloud gave in. It wasn't like they were pushing him to do something he didn't already want to do. If you're sure it's okay.
Great! We're playing soon, Durham told him with a warm smile. Keep an eye on me. I'll score a goal for you.
She blew him a kiss, which made him go red again, and headed off into the crowd. Cloud was still trying to melt into the ground, or maybe find a way to turn himself permanently invisible. She didn't have to make fun of me like that, he muttered, rubbing at the prickling burn in his cheeks.
Make fun of you?
Zack looked surprised when Cloud glanced at him. When did she do that?
Saying that about showing me the nightlife, Cloud said, shaking his head.
And looking at me like that. I mean, obviously she realized I'm Albed, or she wouldn't have made the comment about doing things the hard way. As he knew all too well, good spirit girls wouldn't look twice at an Albed, no matter how cute they thought he was.
Zack started to laugh, which made Cloud scowl at him. It's not funny, Cloud protested, annoyed at his guardian. That only made the older man laugh harder, of course.
Zack, stop it! Now Cloud was hurt as well as flustered.
He's not laughing at you, Cloud, Sephiroth assured him. He was smiling as well. If you were more familiar with Durham, you'd understand. Her flirting was in earnest. The fact that you are in Albed would not deter her in the least.
She's dated at least three, Zack agreed, recovering. And a Guado as well. No Ronso that I know of, but not for lack of trying. They just don't seem to be interested in human women.
Oh. Cloud could feel the blush increasing, and his eyes went a little wide.
A Guado?
The only real difference between a Spearin and an Albed was their eyes, but Guado were another story entirely. And the Ronso? Cloud couldn't even picture it. Ronso were huge!
We might as well head to the dome, too, Zack said. I can give you the tour while we wait for the game to start if you want.
Please? Cloud felt a little shy about asking Zack to do things for him, now that he knew who the man was. But the offer seemed sincere, and it wasn't like Zack was a different person now than he had been before Cloud found out. He never once looked down on Cloud or acted like he was anyone important. They headed for the Blitzdome, where the crowd was already gathering in anticipation of the game.
Don't worry, we don't have to stand in line, Zack assured him. I've got connections. And anyway, you're a summoner. You rate special treatment.
He winked, and Cloud shook his head. I'd rather not draw attention if I don't have to, Cloud said. It's hard enough to get Spearins to accept me as a summoner without them already being mad at the Albed.
Don't worry so much, Zack said, heading around to a small side gate.
He waved at the guard, who smiled in return and made no effort to prevent them from entering, though he was turning away anyone else who got near.
Player's entrance, Zack explained, probably seeing Cloud's confused look. Technically, they shouldn't let me through anymore, but nobody's gonna object.
So, is there anything in particular you want to see?
The Hall of Fame? Cloud suggested. They take pictures of the teams that win the cups, right? Would they include the alternate players?
Sure. Zack turned down the hall. Alts often play quite a bit early on in the long tourney, so regulars can save their strength for the final games. Someone in particular you're looking for?
Cloud nodded, but his throat was too dry to explain. He realized he was clenching the hem of his shirt in his hands hard enough to distort the fabric, but he couldn't make himself stop. They came to a long hallway, both sides of which held many spheres on stands. The spheres were permanently activated, with shining static pictures showing above them. The closest were the most recent, and Cloud saw Zack's familiar grin in quite a few places. He even spotted the same picture as his sphere at home, from when Zack had been chosen MVP in his rookie year.
How long ago was the one you're looking for? Zack asked, leading him along the hall towards the older spheres.
17 years ago, Cloud managed to say. The Calmlands Calamities.
That was the last year the Calmlands team played, wasn't it? Zack asked.
It was a shame there wasn't enough support to keep them going. They were a hell of a team.
Here it is. He stopped in front of a large picture. Someone from your town played?
My dad, Cloud said, his voice soft. Strife, my uncle was on the Psyches that year, and Cece met my dad when she came to cheer her brother on. Strife died before I was born, and I've never seen a picture of him. Cece didn't have any, and his parents destroyed all of theirs when they disowned him for marrying an Albed.
He couldn't think of them as his grandparents, not when they'd never so much as acknowledged his existence the whole time he'd been alive.
He found his father's name on the list at the bottom, and counted across the row to find the right person.
There, third on the left. Don't look much like him, do I?
Cloud laughed bitterly. The man in the picture was tall and broad-shouldered, with dark hair and strong features. He looked more like Zack's father than Cloud's. Someone told me once that after he died, for a while it looked like his parents would reconcile with my mom, because I would be all they'd have left of him. Then I was born, and I looked like a full-blood Albed, and everyone said she must have cheated on him.
Ouch, Zack winced and studied the picture. No, you don't really resemble him.
You have his eyes, Sephiroth said quietly.
Cloud turned and gave him a disbelieving look. It was his damned eyes that most clearly marked him as an Albed.
Sephiroth chuckled. The color, he explained.
His eyes are the same intense shade of blue as yours. It's an unusual color, even for a Spearin.
Hey, you're right, Zack said. Even my eyes don't look blue in a team photo, just in the close-ups. But you can see his no problem.
Really? Cloud turned back to the picture and looked more closely. Sure enough, Strife's eyes were a piercing blue, the same color Cloud saw every time he glimpsed his reflection, but with a Spearin single round pupil. In every other aspect, Cloud was like a masculine copy of his mother. But for the first time in his life, he felt he had some connection to the mysterious stranger who had been his father.
You can get a sphere of this shot at the gift shop, Zack told him. I bet your mom would like to have a copy, too.
Yeah, Cloud agreed, his voice slightly hoarse. He cleared his throat and straightened his shoulders. He was half-Spearin, and now he could prove it. And that meant he had every right to be a summoner. It also meant he wasn't the bastard everyone named him, and his mother wasn't the slut they called her. Cloud had always believed his mother, but the tiny seed of doubt he couldn't get rid of had been surprisingly heavy.
Why don't I go purchase the sphere so that Zack doesn't get mobbed by fans? Sephiroth suggested. We have enough gil since we won't need to pay for accommodations. The two of you can continue the tour.
Sounds good, Zack agreed, saluting. I'm sure you remember your way to the summoner's box. We'll meet you there.
The rest of the tour was a bit of a blur, as Cloud was still wrapped up in the joy of finally seeing a picture of his father. Zack took him around to the locker rooms and introduced him to the players that were there, which was a huge treat as well. But the most interesting part by far was when Zack took him underground to the huge room containing the machina that operated the dome. The Albed technicians who ran and maintained the machina greeted him warmly and were more than happy to explain the workings to him, though they were surprised to discover that he knew so little of the basic principles.
Man, you get seasick and you don't know anything about machina? Zack teased as they left the room and headed up towards the stands. You sure you don't want to rethink your claim of being part Albed?
CZ tried to explain machina to me, but she could only draw pictures, and it was really confusing. I never really understood before why they were so fascinating to her, Cloud said with a smile. For once, it didn't even bother him that he was neither fish nor fowl. They found Sephiroth waiting, as promised, in the private box reserved for summoners. They had it to themselves, which Cloud was grateful for. Sephiroth solemnly offered him the sphere, and Cloud tucked it carefully into his bag, feeling like he was handling something precious. He would leave it for his mother when they passed through the Calmlands. Maybe it would even be enough to make her forgive him for running away to become a summoner. Watching the huge dome fill with water was another experience Cloud treasured, and he found himself even more grateful that his guardians had convinced him to watch the game. He still felt it was selfish of him, but the experience was more than worth the time it cost. It was obvious from the moment the buzzer went off that the goers weren't playing their best. Probably they were still thrown off by the absence of Zack, who spent the whole game shouting advice and tactics at his former teammates, as if they could hear him. Cloud cheered himself hoarse anyway, and wasn't even disappointed when the goers lost by 1 point.
Well, what did you think?
Zack asked as they headed out of the dome with the rest of the crowd. His grin said that he already knew the answer, but he wanted to hear it from Cloud.
It was amazing, Cloud said, putting as much sincere gratitude into his voice as he could. Thank you so much, both of you.
Sephiroth smiled back and nodded, and Zack laughed and ruffled his hair.
Probably just as well we lost. Otherwise the party tonight would be huge, and they'd be bugging you to stay and see the rest of the tournament as their good luck charm or something.
One game was enough, Cloud said firmly. Not that he wouldn't have loved to stay and see the whole thing, but at least now he could continue on his journey without regretting the missed opportunity.
Hey, look, it's Zack! Someone shouted. Suddenly they were surrounded by a group of excited Blitz fans. Zack, it's Zack! Why weren't you playing today? Zack, look over here!
It's not true that you quit, right?
You're the best player ever! You can't leave, we need you!
The noise and chaos were overwhelming, and the circle around them was growing rapidly as the shouting attracted more attention.
Oops, Zack said, barely audible over the din. He looked sheepish.
Guess we should have waited until after the rest of the crowd had left. Sorry, guys, I wasn't thinking.
Zach, sign my ball?
A little boy near the front asked, holding up a blitz ball. A dozen more people repeated the plea, and there were balls and pieces of paper being shoved at them from everywhere. Zach smiled and took the first ball, scribbling his name on it quickly, with a marker offered by someone else. Yes, it's true that I'm leaving, at least for a while, he said, as he continued to sign things. The goers will be fine without me for a season or two. They just need to hit their stride. I'm a guardian now. My job is to get Lord Cloud here, he nodded at Cloud, all the way to Xanarkand, so he can defeat Zin and you can all watch Blitzball without having to be afraid. That's important too, right? There was a mix of cheering and booing. Zach laughed and handed back another ball, then announced, "That's it for today, guys." This time, the chorus was all booing. "Hey, we got caught in the storm, too. We need to rest up before we get moving to Jose. Wave to the nice fans, Lord Cloud." He nudged Cloud and winked at him. Startled, Cloud looked up at the crowd, now focused on him, and blanched. He'd never dealt well with being the center of attention. And a mob of fans was awfully close to being just a mob.
You'll have to get used to the attention eventually, Sephiroth told him, not unkindly. You will draw more of it the further we go.
Gulping, Cloud nodded, and gave them all a weak smile and a tentative bow. A few people cheered, but most of them looked confused. Isn't he all bed? He heard someone remark, and he winced. People crowded a little closer, staring at him curiously.
Look at his eyes. He is. Mama, how can an Albed be a summoner?
What kind of joke is this? The tone of the crowd was slowly turning hostile, and Cloud resisted the urge to edge behind one of his guardians. The damage was already done. Hiding would only make them think he felt guilty. Optimistic as ever, Zach seemed determined to try to salvage the situation. He's half Spearin. And anyway, what difference does it make? It's sacrilege, someone cried, and there were angry shouts of agreement. Cloud had a feeling he was going to be very tired of hearing that word by the time his journey was done. What's the matter with you people? Zach demanded. Cloud is willingly giving up his life to try to save your sorry necks, just like every other damn summoner. The hell difference does it make if his pupils are solid or not? For crying out loud, he's made it this far. He's got 2 Aeons already in record time and... Then he stole them! Someone cut him off angrily. There was a horrified and angry murmur at the notion, and Zach made a disgusted noise.
It's true. I heard from my cousin in Kilika, a young girl said. He was in and out of the temple. He cheated the trials and stole the Aeon. He had to have. It's the Albed trying to sabotage us again.
More people shouted, the voices blending so that Cloud wasn't even sure what they were saying. He heard at least one angry comment about the storm, and it wasn't hard to tell where this was going. They were going to blame him for the damage of the storm, just as the people of Besaid had blamed him for Sin's attack. And this time, Sephiroth couldn't calm them by threatening not to perform the sending.
Forget it, Zach. Let's just go,
Cloud shouted over the increasing noise. You can't reason with them. They're nothing but prejudiced, racist Spearins. He spat the epithet at the crowd the same way they were calling Albed to him. Yeah, if we can get out of here, Zach replied grimly. Looking around, Cloud realized what Zach had already seen. They were completely surrounded. Worse, they were still attracting more attention, and the mob continued to grow. Zach shifted and Sephiroth turned, so they were back to back with Cloud sheltered between them, and both drew their swords. That caused at least a couple of people to reconsider and open up a clear space around them.
We don't wish to hurt anyone, but we will defend our summoner, Sephiroth rumbled. Think about what you are doing.
A few people dropped back, uncertain. Slowly a path opened as the Spearins backed away, though the crowd made no move to disperse.
That's as good as we're gonna get. Quick, before they change their minds, Zach muttered, and moved forward into the gap.
Cloud followed close behind. Sephiroth kept the rear.
Go home, Albed, a woman called angrily. Don't profane Yevon, heretic!
Nelect Chupk!
Cloud called back, starting to lose his grip on his temper.
Kuvet is a klima it kruja.
Okay, enough of that, Zack declared, clamping one hand over Cloud's mouth. Most of them probably understand about as much Albat as I do. This is a port town. Oh! Came the next shout from behind the rest of the crowd, and Cloud's heart sank. Fried Kuek, Oh no, Cloud groaned. Either the Albed technicians had left the dome, or there were still some diehard Psyches fans in the city. Hearing a spear and mob shouting and someone replying in Albed, of course they were going to weigh in on the fight. The Albed protected their own, but when they realized who and what Cloud was, they might decide just to join in instead.
Is Veha! He shouted back, trying to head them off. Etud hat Ramb!
Far from reassuring the Albed, all Cloud managed to do was convince them that there was another of their number in trouble, while at the same time further inciting the Spearins with this proof he wasn't one of them. Fighting began to break out as the Albed attempted to reach him to rescue him, and the open path disappeared as the mob closed around them again. Somebody threw the remains of their drink, soaking Zack's left side. Then somebody else threw a cactar fruit, and it was followed by a rain of leftover food. Zack cursed and blocked what he could with his sword, but some got through to spatter on Cloud, staining his only shirt. Then someone ran out of food or just got nasty. A fist-sized rock flew out of the crowd and hit Zack on the head with a sickening crack. He dropped like he was made of stone himself, not even crying out, and sprawled motionless on the floor with his sword beside him.
Zack!
Cloud shouted, terrified and furious. He drew his own sword and moved to stand over his guardian, so they couldn't continue to stone him while he was down. Of course, that meant there was nothing protecting Cloud from the rocks. One struck his hip, and another hit his upper arm hard enough that he nearly dropped his sword.
Enough! A weaker!
He cried, and swung wildly with his sword to try to open some space around him. He felt fire swirling inside him, Evned's fury rising to meet his. The power pulsed in his veins, demanding release. And at that moment, Cloud was more than willing to set the Aeon loose. Then suddenly, the Aeon's presence was just gone. Panicked, afraid he'd done something wrong, Cloud reached for Jamavan instead. She responded readily, and he sensed her appear high above him in the clouds. There was a roar and an explosion of earth and fire in the open space behind the mob. Cloud hadn't actually seen Kilika's Aeon before this, but there was no mistaking him. Ifrit looked like he was half made of flames that were Kilika's hallmark. With a cry like an enraged falcon, Jamavan came spiraling out of the sky. She landed next to Ifrit and mantled her wings, hissing at the crowd. Most of the people broke and ran. If one Aeon's sudden appearance hadn't been enough to cow the Spearins, the addition of a second finished the job, especially since she was so visibly angry. It was rare to see an Aeon outside of battle, rarer still to see two at all. Summoners never traveled together.
Maesa Imuha! Just leave me alone!
Cloud shouted at them as they ran, barely remembering to speak Spearin so they would understand him.
I'm trying to save you, and all I want is to be left alone!
Jamavan shrieked again, making most people wince and cover their ears.
Hod,
Sephiroth called, and the fiery Aeon moved so that he was between Jamavan and the crowd. She hissed at him, but Cloud wasn't so angry that he would order his Aeon to attack another. He held her back with force of will, though the effort left him shaking.
Temple problems will be dealt with by the temple, Sephiroth said, raising his voice.
There were still people huddled in the shelter of the archways, trapped with the Aeons between them and the exits.
It is not your place to pass judgment on a summoner, no matter his race. Remember that, lest you anger the faith as well as their Aeons.
He turned to Cloud and murmured,
Dismiss her, now.
His tone was cold, in direct contrast to the Aeon he had summoned. His eyes were even colder, like frozen chips of jade. Shivering, Cloud obeyed, the rest of his anger wilting in the face of Sephiroth's icy anger. Jamavan turned and preened his hair briefly, crooning in the back of her throat, before she disappeared in a shower of pyreflies. Hod vanished a moment later, leaving them alone and unprotected once more.
Sephiroth gestured at Zack, and the soothing green magic of a cure spell settled over him. Cloud flushed. Sephiroth had been teaching him white magic spells, but it hadn't even occurred to him to use one on his guardian. He really needed to work on making them a reflex rather than an afterthought. Zack groaned and sat up, one hand pressed to his head where the rock had struck.
Ow, what the fuck?
Get up, we're leaving,
Sephiroth ordered, his tone brooking no argument. Zack blinked and opened his mouth, then took a second look at Sephiroth's face and wisely said nothing. He scrambled back to his feet and grabbed his sword. Sephiroth led the way out of the square and turned toward the city.
Where?
Zack started in surprise, but stopped himself when Sephiroth flicked a glance at him. Cloud trailed behind them both, feeling like he'd done something horribly wrong and trying to figure out what it was. He hadn't started the fight after all. Or was Sephiroth just angry at the people in the mob and he was taking it out on Zack and Cloud? On the far side of the city, there was a long staircase, and at the top was the beginning of a road. There were few other travelers, with Sin on the rampage, and shortly they were out of earshot of anyone else. Only then did Sephiroth turn to Cloud. His expression shuddered. "Never, under any circumstances, summon an Aeon in anger," he said. Beside him, Zack sucked in a sharp breath and went pale, staring at Cloud with wide eyes. "A summoner should avoid any strong emotion, but anger is the worst. Under extreme circumstances, they can go berserk and you will lose control of them until they are too damaged to continue." Cloud winced. He'd been angry at the mob, but an Aeon on a rampage might have destroyed half of Luca. A lot of people who hadn't done anything to him would have been hurt. "You were gonna summon on a crowd of civilians?" Zack asked, looking shaken.
"Did summon," Sephiroth corrected him grimly. "Thankfully, I managed to call Hod before Evned could respond to him, and Vale 4's Aeon is the most even-tempered of them all, so Jamavan did no damage. Were we any further along the journey, the outcome of that fight would have been disastrous."
"So I'm not allowed to defend myself, or you?" Cloud exclaimed, both angry and ashamed. "If it's Spearin's attacking us instead of fiends, I should just stand there and let them stone us?"
"Nobody is suggesting that," Sephiroth said sharply. He paused, then sighed and rubbed his eyes. "I should have told you all of this before, but it simply didn't occur to me that you wouldn't know it. All potential summoners are trained from a young age to control their emotions. Cloud, if you had summoned Evned and things had gone badly, Zack and I would have been killed as well."
Now it was Cloud's turn to go pale. The thought of Zack or Sephiroth being hurt or killed because of him was enough to make him want to break his staff and go home right now. Zack turned to Sephiroth with a worried look. "How are you holding up? You haven't summoned in 10 years, and that's the third time this week."
"If pressed hard, we should reach the inn at the halfway point shortly after nightfall," Sephiroth said, blatantly ignoring the question. "By then, we should have defeated enough fiends to be able to resupply there. Today will be difficult, but I thought it best not to remain in Luca."
"Not after that," Zack agreed, grimacing. "Not with the attitude towards the Owl Bed as bad as it is now."
They walked in silence after that. There were a lot of fiends in the area, but Cloud fought with his sword, refusing to summon. Thankfully, he didn't need to, although his new white magic spells got plenty of practice after all. After a while, Zack let Sephiroth take point and dropped back beside Cloud.
"Hey, don't kill yourself over it," he said, patting him on the shoulder. "You didn't know, and nothing happened. Next time you'll know better, right?"
Cloud nodded miserably, and Zack smiled at him.
"No worries." "But he's so mad at me," Cloud muttered, glancing ahead at his other guardian.
Sephiroth's back was ramrod straight, and though he'd had to cast Poisana several times, he'd made no effort to teach Cloud the new spell. In fact, he hadn't so much as glanced at Cloud since ending his lecture.
"He's not mad at you," Zack said, his words soft enough not to carry, and his smile turning crooked. "I wasn't exactly paying attention at the time, but if I'd had to guess, I'd say you scared the shit out of him."
Cloud regarded Zack with astonishment. Him? Scared? Because the Aeon could have killed him? That didn't seem to fit with Sephiroth's personality as far as he'd observed. Nah, he would have just had his Aeon beat yours. Zack said, he's scared because the Aeon might have killed you. Or the temple might well have called for your execution as a rogue summoner, if you'd hurt innocent people. For some definitions of innocent, anyway. Cloud felt chilled. He hadn't known the temple had that kind of power, but it made sense. There was no rule that said all summoners had to be good, caring people, but the priests would certainly jump at any opportunity to rid themselves of him. He blames himself for not thinking to warn you, Zack continued. You know those lectures about duty he's so good at giving us? It's because he practices on himself. 10 times worse. It's not you he's mad at, it's him. But it's not his fault, Cloud protested. I'm the one who doesn't even know the first thing about how to be a summoner. Just don't take it personally, is all I'm saying. Zack shrugged, looking a little helpless. He takes everything on his own shoulders. He always has. It's just the way he is. Then I'll have to try harder, Cloud sighed, so I'm not causing him more problems. Assuming his very existence wasn't what ended up causing the problem, like it already had. Of course, first they had to survive getting to Jose, with no equipment what they had on them. It was going to be a long trip.